Warning.
The following people's voices are impersonated to be better than the real thing.
Hey kid, you know what? You know what, little fella? When you grow up, you're gonna be wrong!
Has everyday John Cena walked out here looking like he just got shot out of Barney the Dinosaur's anus?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the TWG podcast debut edition, I believe. And joining me right now, as always, me being the nemesis, is the founder of Wrestling with Subtitles. He is the resident Server 3 manager, and he is, as of course, always the social media ambassador for the wrestlinggame.com. Mr. Kyrax, Max Selesky, my homie, my bromide, what's up?
Not much. How about you, Nam?
Not a lot. After that abysmal showing of Raw.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That was terrible. Well,
yeah, I mean, after the abysmal showing at WrestleMania, you'd think that, oh, maybe the next Raw, you know, the next Raw was amazing, and then it slowly collapsed like a fan in the cupboard.
I was going to say it just fell off a cliff after the second one. Like, even the crowd in the UK tried to bring it back up, couldn't get it done. Anyway,
look, yeah, it's abysmal.
Yeah. About the only thing we can actually say about it. Let's have a look. This Monday Night Raw, obviously, let's just get straight into it. Obviously, Cena comes out, says, yeah, there's unrest here because of, you know, of Ryback and of Lesnar and of... and then he goes on to saying something about, you know... What the hell does he say? He says he's not a teacher, a doctor, or a lawyer. He's a WWE superstar. If there's one thing I don't want John Cena to be, it's a teacher and a lawyer.
Yeah, that's... Cena just doesn't... I don't think he's connecting with fans anymore. I mean, he never really connected with the fans. But especially now, with him being the champion and everything, It's really hard for anybody to get behind him other than, you know, the Cena fans, the C-Nation, which are, you know, kids and young females.
Well, it's not even that anymore. What's the word I'm looking for here? It's the status quo again. But from, like, 2006, right. 2007, it's just the status quo. Oh, Cena's got the belt.
Right, because nothing changed. Rock lost, took his ball and went home, and now Cena is the champ, and there's nothing different. Nothing has changed.
Exactly. Exactly that. And, well, anyway, brings out Vicky, and Vicky says that it's an extreme pay-per-view, as it always has been. Apparently there's a steel cage match, a ladder match, and she calls out Ryback and says, okay, what stipulation do you want? And Cena goes, well, I don't give a shit. Oh, really? just pick a one that you know you're actually going to have a chance for. I'm sick of Cena being the whole, I can defend my belt against bloody anything, so I'm going to go, okay, Taipei death match, let's go.
Yeah, I was on Twitter live tweeting through Raw and everything, and there was a lot of like, yeah, Taipei death match, you know, just Throw your fists in some glue and glass and punch it out.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be friggin' good, but... Yeah, obviously, Ryback chooses Last Man Standing. Yay! You just gave yourself up. He could have picked... I know he could have picked anything, like... But a Last Man Standing match, I can remember Cena taking on Umaga.
Royal Rumble 2007.
And Batista in 2010.
Right, and that's where he threw him off into the stage, right?
No, it was actually it was duct tape.
Duct tape. Okay.
The duct tape, and he has had another one. I think it was against Carly. Oh no, I think it was that was false count anywhere. I think for Carly. Either way, I think he's had two or three, and he hasn't lost one. Sort of like an I Quit match. He hasn't lost one yet.
I don't remember him losing a high profile gimmick match in a while.
Yeah. Anyway. Quick one. Randy Orton versus Damian Sandow. Yeah, no one thought Sandow was going to win this one. After a quick back and forth thing, Orton wins via RKO, and then as Orton's walking back up the ramp, Big Show comes out, thwack, there's the KO punch. Didn't see that coming.
I'm really getting sick and tired of Big Show and the KO punch.
Well, the Big Show and the KO punch works for me because he's A, his fist is the size of a basketball, but the one thing that gets me with the Big Show as well is the Big Show can basically fight anyone. I think CM Punk put it best, actually, the Comic-Con, one of the Comic-Cons he attended this year. It was, he's a big guy. You get beat up, and then you lose. There's no real point to it anymore, facing a big guy, but he enjoys facing the Big Show, and especially Kane, because, especially with Punk, and I believe the guys like Cena, they like making the big guys laugh at really bad times.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be evident if you actually look back, I think, in the CM Punk Big Show match, the SES versus Big Show match, I think that happened in 2011? No, 2010.
2010.
Yeah, 2010. Punk's making Big Show laugh constantly through one match on pay-per-view, and it's really funny. I just don't know which one it is. I can't remember. It just makes me laugh, and I'm trying not to laugh into the microphone. But the one thing that gets me is Orton's so lazy now. He's got a contract until I think it's 2019, and he's just getting lazy in almost all aspects of his, like, in and out of the ring. His promos are becoming lackluster. He's forgetting lines, and especially, the only real thing, like obviously he can sell, he can do moves and such, but he's almost at the what the hell am I doing this for stage of his career.
I mean Orton, I've always liked Orton from a in-ring standpoint, because he's never bad, but he's never great. I mean, he's had a handful of good matches, great matches. And you know, he's got one hell of a power slam, you know, in his little, you know, Hulk up kind of sequence where he does the clotheslines and then he ducks behind him and gives him the power slam. That's always a good segment. But I mean, once you see, you know, Evan Bourne taking the RKO from, you know, the Shooting Star Press, or CM Punk doing a springboard into an RKO, there are so few little areas that you can effectively do an RKO out of nowhere that it's kind of losing its glimmer, and he's really boring. Like, on Twitter, I mean, everybody calls him Randy Borton because he's really boring. Just in the ring, outside, he's kind of like a charisma suckhole, and it's just really sad.
It is really sad, isn't it? Randy Borton, I hadn't thought of that one. I might have to come up with a drop for that. Anyway, completely.
My name,
yeah,
is Randy
Borton. Oh, and it, just on Orton as well. About 4 or 5 years ago, I don't remember where he was the heel thing, and then he went into the face, but he was exactly the same person. And he's like,
right?
Sorry, yeah. And he's like, when he was with Cena, he's like, what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna give you an RKO and then kick you in the skull. and everyone goes, boo. And then he faces, I think he was, I can't remember who the hell he was facing. It might have even been Punk. Probably not, but I just remember it's like, I'm going to kick you in the skull. I'm going to kick your mother in the skull. I'm going to kick your dog in the skull. And I'm going to like it. And everyone goes, yay! What the hell?
Have you ever heard a Randy Orton promo? It's still going on.
It's the same thing. It's very, I only know one kind of tone, and that's mine, and I'm going to win. And
with an RKO.
With an RKO. Out of nowhere.
let's move away from Randy Orton.
Yeah, let's. Fandango or Fandango versus R-Truth.
God. Johnny Kirk is awesome.
God, I love the New Jersey crowd. Anyway, really quickly, before that, Jericho came out and welcomed everyone to Raw is Jericho, like he did 14 years ago. And then Fandango came out, and he ended up having some people critique his entrance, which was like...
I'm so surprised that they didn't do a Bret Hart 4 out of 10 meme.
Oh, God. That would have been... I would have died laughing at that point. Anyway, yeah.
By the way, I love Tons of Funk. Tensai and Brodus Clay can do no wrong.
At this point,
they're so much fun.
It's like Albert just sort of gave up being. Yeah, I'm not from Japan. I'm just gonna dance. And everyone's like, that's a lot better for you.
I don't dance because I don't want to. I dance because I have to.
Yes. 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 Anyway, Tons of Funk gave him a 2, Jericho gave him a 1, then Fandango criticizes Jericho for being on Dancing with the Stars. Whatever. Really quick match.
Ends in a count out.
Ends in a count out after Truth does a little dance, and the judges scored a 10. Fandango then walks out, referee counts the 10, R-Truth wins by count out. This is going nowhere. I love Jericho, I love Fandango, but for God's sake, this is going nowhere.
However, next week, they're going to have a dance-off, and that is exciting.
And apparently it's going to be at the main event of one of the... it's going to be the top of the hour of one of the hours. I'm assuming the first...
Well, they have, like, 70 of them, so...
Yeah. It's going to end up... Jericho is going to do, like, a dance... He's not going to do a solo, but he's going to do something with someone. Fandango is going to start, and then they're going to have a fight. Or vice versa. One of them's going to finish, the other one's going to start, and then they're just going to unload on each other, and it's going to look like crap.
Yeah. I'm assuming that they're building up for a rematch at Extreme Rules, but I'm not really excited about what kind of stipulation it could be, because all signs point to something awful.
Yeah. If it's a tuxedo match, I'm going to friggin' die.
Actually, a tuxedo match wouldn't be too bad, because Jericho is a dapper person.
Well, actually, no. Have you heard that Jericho invented cross-dressing?
He also invented Canada.
Yeah, I know. It's just amazing what Jericho can actually invent. Anyway, moving on really quickly. Backstage with Daniel Bryan, he says he's fine. Ryback comes in and says, I'm gonna beat Kane. Boring as f***.
I am literally 20 minutes from where Daniel Bryan grew up.
And don't get me wrong, I love Daniel Bryan. Just Ryback is sucking the life out of every promo he's in.
Every live promo. The promo that turned him heel, the one where he went back and talked about where John Cena didn't help him, that was gold.
And
everything else has been awful. Ryback rules! What the hell is that about?
I don't know. That actually turns me back to something. Is whenever he said Ryback rules, I'm like, for some reason, when he says that, I picture Chris Benoit after the end of every single promo that Benoit did in like four straight weeks, he said, Chris Benoit is for real. I love Benoit. I don't discourage what he did. I loved Benoit for the performer he was, but whoever came up with that line for him, I bet that he didn't like and made sure that he just blistered it into oblivion before it just, just didn't get over, and I don't think this is either.
There are just some guys who can't do a live mic, you know, Ryback, Benoit, Bret Hart.
To a lesser extent.
Yeah, it's just, it's really bad, and it's not even, like, bad in a way that people don't get. It's very obvious that Ryback isn't comfortable talking in front of a live audience, which is funny, because he's been in the WWE for, like, 8 years now.
It's just a complete mind-melting thing to think that, this is a really bad analogy, but relating it to Velvet Sky, who's been wrestling for 11 years and still can't run the ropes. And that's probably going to be a weekly thing. Velvet Sky can't run the ropes. I'm sorry, she's hot, but she can't run the ropes.
That's kind of like John Cena, how he's been wrestling for like 13 years and still can't take a bump right. He always lands on his hip.
Yeah. It's actually the one thing as well, I remember this from No Way Out 2007. It was Batista and Taker versus Cena and Michaels. Batista gets the hot tag to Undertaker. Undertaker gives a clothesline to Shawn, and Shawn sells it perfectly on his back, flat, like, oh my god, what the hell happened? I want to get up and kill this mother. And Cena takes a bump. Undertaker hits him, and Cena takes the bump, and it's like, wow, gotta get up again.
Cena's selling is not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
He's like the antithesis of Dolph Ziggler.
Speaking of which, Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler.
For the 30,000th time.
Sounds like Alberto Del Rio from Sheamus versus Sheamus from last year. But,
Or Sheamus Big Show from earlier this year, last year.
Oh, God, as much as the 30,000th time, I can never get tired of watching these two go.
I hate Del Rio. I'm a Ziggler mark, so anything that he does cannot be wrong. But exactly. Del Rio is a charisma suckhole. I know he said it for somebody else, Randy Orton. He's very Randy Orton-ish, because ever since he turned face, ever since Del Rio turned face, he has been awful. Awful on the mic, awful. Like, his moveset changed a little bit, but it's not enticing. It's the same match over and over and over and over again.
Oh, in fact, actually, do you remember that, was it Del Rio Orton on Raw? It went for like 8 minutes, and it felt like 8 hours.
Yes, because all they did was rest holds.
Yeah, all rest holds. Man, they fell asleep during half of it. But anyway, this was probably the best match of the night, I think. It went pretty quickly after Swagger came in. He came with a ladder, I think, and it was ruled a no contest.
Beat the living hell out of Ziggler. He hit Ziggler so hard, I thought I was gonna bleed.
Oh god. He didn't only nail Ziggler, he nailed,
Del Rio.
He nailed Del Rio, but he also nailed, what the hell's that ring announcer's name again?
Eddie Langston.
No, he nailed, no, the,
Ricardo?
Yeah, Ricardo. I'm getting bad. But yeah, he pretty much killed everyone but AJ.
Yeah.
But, oh well, it was a no contest, so it went nowhere, but it's obviously setting up ADR, Ziggler, and Swagger in the three-way for the ladder match at Extreme Rules, which is pretty much the only good thing on the card right now.
Yeah, right now that match is going to be awesome, until they add Shield versus Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Which is going to be fantastic, as usual.
Oh man, that match... I can't wait for the tag titles to move over to the Shield.
As soon as the Shield get the tag titles, there's going to be life back into them again. I love the concept of the Shield, but if they break this up before the end of the year, it's going to be a failure. One of them's going to go great, and the other two are going to fail into obscurity and get fired before the end of the year.
So, I know that you're probably not... You're not on Twitter at all, huh?
I am, but barely.
Okay, so I'm huge on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when the Shield is in the ring wrestling, they'll be tweeting.
Oh, yeah.
It's very interesting. So people are you know, putting on their conspiracy caps and thinking about a fourth member.
Ooh.
Might be a new might be an NXT guy. Some people are saying that it's El Generico, Mr. Sami Zayn.
Hmm.
Very, very excited on the different theories that everybody's coming up with. Some people are saying that it's Cassius Ohno, which everybody knows as Chris Hero from the Kings of Wrestling,
oh,
ROH.
Yeah. That would be awesome. That would be incredibly awesome.
Speaking of Chris Hero and Cassius Ohno, guess who picked up a win today?
Oh, really?
Antonio Cesaro.
Indeed.
Cesaro defeated Zack Ryder after a very quick match, hit the neutralizer, hit a gigantic, very European uppercut, and went for the neutralizer and beat him probably a minute and a half.
Wow, very, very nice. But man, Cesaro actually finally getting a win is actually, it's almost mind-boggling,
yeah.
I guess.
Oh, man. So, apparently, the story is that after the match with Kofi Kingston on Main Event last week, people in the powers that be in WWE realized that Cesaro is worth a lot more than they've been putting on him the past couple weeks. Couple months, actually. He's been buried a couple months. And so, hopefully, this match is a sign for a bright, bright future like his first 6 months.
Oh, hopefully at least, yeah.
And I love that. I love his finisher. I love the neutralizer. It's perfect.
But, the neutralizer is actually it's a really good finish. Just really quickly speaking of finishes, I freaking hate Big E Langston's finisher. It's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good finisher. The second he uses it on a big guy, it's going to hurt him a lot, and he's going to dislocate his shoulder.
It looks awful when he does it to anyone that's like his size or bigger.
Yeah,
and it's bad. You can physically really see that it's not a move that should be taken. Like, you know, in NXT, people want him to do it 3 or 4 times in a row. But after a couple times on a bigger guy, I mean, his shoulder's going to be shot, so.
Oh, well. Anyway, getting back to Raw, getting back to what we need to do. Brock Lesnar came in, destroyed Triple H's room, office, and then Triple H completely no-sold the dismantling of his office. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good segment. I mean, I really liked it. However, apparently it was shot over a month ago, so you know how WWE likes to hold on to gems like that. But that segment was actually a pretty good. It was a thumbs up for Raw at least.
It was a thumbs up segment, but Triple H's reaction, if someone had completely trashed my office like Lesnar did, I'd just be like, I'm going to murder you where you stand. Like, there was no real aggression there from Triple H. It was just a huh, this is my office now. That's what the look Triple H gave. I was like, right. If you think this is what you're going to do to my office, imagine what I'm going to do to you. Like, Ugh.
Yeah, it was a weird segment and a weird thing for like Triple H to come out, and you know, it probably didn't help that it was shot like a month ago, and like he didn't have anything to go off of. If you catch my drift. Also, it wasn't his real office, of course. So I mean, there's a lot of things playing into it, and Triple H isn't always the best actor. So.
Well, never really the best actor, I would have actually guessed. But anyway, Kofi Kingston and the Usos versus the Shield. Blah blah blah. Shield wins. I still love the Shield.
I will say that one of the Usos, I don't remember which one, has a hell of a super kick. But then again, I'm a sucker for a good super kick.
We're all suckers for a good super kick. Caitlyn and the Funkadactyls versus the Bellas and AJ.
That ass. Sorry.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Caitlyn picked up the win.
Shocking. I didn't know that they had six divas. I was shocked.
And, oh, yeah, me too. We'll actually get onto a news story about that later as well, yeah?
Yeah, this secret admirer thing is really stupid because they gave up on it way too fast. You can obviously tell that the Bellas are playing a trick on them, or a trick on Caitlyn. So,
which is ridiculous because now they're not twins anymore. If you actually think, I believe it's Nikki. The second she got fired from the WWE, she got a boom job. You can tell them apart now.
Yeah, twin magic doesn't work anymore because her twins are magic.
You know, indeed they are. Indeed they are. Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. Well, actually, no, this is actually, after Mark Henry came out and says, "I'm going to read you in the Hall of Pain," or whatever the f*** he says. Anyway, Sheamus versus...
Wait. It's Woy Barra.
Woy Barra. Yeah. Sheamus versus Woy Barra. God, I love that. Yeah, Brode kicked Barrett. Nothing really happened in this match. It was just it wasn't even a back and forth. It was just Sheamus, Brode kick, Sheamus.
I do not know the last time that Sheamus took a clean pin. I don't think it's happened in a year and a half.
No.
Big Show.
Yeah.
Big Show.
Oh, actually, yes.
Big Show beat him a couple times. But other than the Big Show, it's. I don't think it's happened in quite a while.
Yeah. And main event, Kane versus Ryback.
I tuned out about 3 minutes into the match because I was done, because sitting through 3 hours of Raw is a chore now. Sadly, I think I want to watch the second and third hours and not the first two. But the what I remember is that Ryback came out and Kane came out and they were going back and forth. A ad came out and I stopped watching.
Yeah, it was, give it really, really quick. It was, Ryback, and then Ryback went for the meat hook, Kane countered it by booting him in the face, and it looked like it hurt a lot. Then it was pretty much back and forth for a bit, and then, Kane went to the turnbuckle, Ryback hit the rope, so Kane fell off, and it was easy for Ryback to just sort of hoist Kane on his shoulders and shell-shock him for the three count. And then Daniel Bryan came down to help Kane, and then the Shield comes out, and here's the stupid part. Ryback leaves, and Cena comes out. But then Ryback comes back with a steel chair, and then the Shield go away. And then Ryback kills Cena with a chair, and then stands over him, and Raw goes off the air. So they have now completely killed any hype that the Shield has, even though I remember this, it was it Ryback and Team Hell No versus the Shield? And TLC? I think?
Yes.
So, and then that was the one match that Shield won, and then it's now come to Team Hell No and Cena in the ring with the Shield surrounding the ring. Then when Ryback comes out with a steel chair, the Shield goes, oh, we're not having any of this, and leaves. I love the Shield, but they need to do something else. They need to fight someone that isn't Team Hell No. Well,
get
actually,
the belt from them at Extreme Rules and then drop it.
Please.
Shield needs to have the title, the tag team titles, and then one of them can go for like the US title or the Intercontinental title because they don't mean anything anyway.
Oh, they definitely don't. Oh. Anyway, let's take a
overall.
Yeah.
Overall, very lackluster Raw. Followed by last week's Raw, which was decent, had three really good matches, and a pretty good crowd. This Raw was slow, plodding, and I'm usually very, very, very optimistic with Raw and WWE in general, but their lull after WrestleMania this year, after the awful WrestleMania this year, it's just seemed like about 4 months of just after TLC, it's been downhill.
Yeah, it's been very downhill. It's almost gotten to the point that they almost need to go back to 2 hours.
Oh God, I need them to go back to 2 hours. I'm done with the 3 hour Raws.
Anyway, let's take a really quick commercial break, if we have any commercials, I believe, and we'll be back in a moment with some news and updates.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Enter the Triple Threat.
We're back here. Let's get stuck into this news. First bit of news I've got is actually YouTube. Have you heard about this?
I actually have. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I'll go ahead and read it off. It's been reported that the WWE may join other YouTube channels in a YouTube subscription plan that will involve you paying $1.99 a month for a YouTube channel. Other YouTube channels that have been mentioned are Machinima, The Onion, and Howcast. WWE is not confirmed, but they are potential partner involved. With the upcoming Yahoo.com deal, I think that them trying to suck every bit of money out of their fan base, I think it seems kind of sleazy, but I can totally see where they're coming from.
I can agree with you on that. I can see where they're coming from, and I think that if you've got a big enough fan base that you can post like extra material that is going to be costing you like money and such, and to have $1.99 a month, that's $2 a month, especially for Machinima. I think they've got 3 million subscriptions. If a third of them pay $1.99, that's $2 million. If only like less than that, they can only make $100,000 out of this. But still, for them, it's worth it, and for you, I guess it would be worth it if you're like a lifelong YouTube thing. So sorry, a lifelong YouTube fan, and I'm a fan of Machinima as well. So hell, I might be into it.
Yeah, and I mean, if this means that the WWE Network is not going to happen, which I think it's a terrible idea in the beginning, then they could definitely just go through YouTube and post all their stuff up here, and maybe a little bit later, if they're offering more content, they could bump it up to $4.99, $5.99 a month, and totally get rid of any aspirations of the WWE Network, because I think that would fail total.
Completely. Indeed. And thank you to the Flying Eagle for reporting that for thewrestlinggame.com. There you go. There you go, TFE. There's your shout-out for the week. Let's have another... this is actually just getting to me. Let's just run down the Extreme Rules card. For those of you who don't already know, there's only four matches announced so far. Lesnar, Triple H in a steel cage. Cena, Ryback, last man standing. Ziggler, ADR, and Swagger in a three-way ladder match. And Sheamus versus Mazark Henry.
That's what I do.
God.
So I'm supposing that the Divas match will be added. So AJ Lee versus Caitlin. I'm assuming that the Shield versus Hell No happens at Extreme Rules, and probably Wade Barra versus, oh hell, I don't know, any number of the middle card players will be probably prominent on that card.
Anyone who wins within the next 2 weeks of anyone who wins next week on Raw, you can say, they're going to go for the title. So anyone,
yeah,
anyone
there's no uniform to the mid card right now. So
yeah, it's just going to be someone. It's not going to be The Miz, though. I don't think it's going to be The Miz.
But no, The Miz is too much of a babyface. And speaking about babyfaces, former WWE Diva.
Oh, God, this story.
Former WWE Diva, Lena Yada, I don't even remember her.
Me neither.
Announced that she was pregnant. Her husband is Disturbed lead singer David Draiman. They announced it on Twitter. They said, thank you, everyone, for the congrats and well wishes on David Draiman and I's announcement on my pregnancy. Stay tuned to see if it's a boy or a girl.
All in favor of not caring.
Pardon?
All in favor of not caring. I'll admit,
my level of caring is a zero, so.
Yeah, I'm not a Disturbed fan.
She's undefeated in WWE. She's only been in one match, a 16 Diva match in late 2008, and then she moved away from the wrestling business in November of 2008. So that's 5 years ago, and I don't even remember her. So
yeah,
who cares?
Congratulations on your pregnancy, but just yeah. No.
Who are you?
Yes. I feel like being in the TNA crowd of when Jesse Goddard came out. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, who are you? Who are you? I guess the biggest news story of the week comes to us from our former WWE Women's and Divas Champion and former Knockouts Champion Mickie James, who told Running the Ropes that she is frustrated with the way she's been booked, along with the other 94% of the TNA roster that isn't over the age of 45. She says, for the entire year, for the 50 shows that have been there, she feels like she's been on a fifth of them. You know, the last year and a half, she's barely done anything for the company since losing the Knockouts title. She's barely done anything, you know. It's awesome to come back, go for the number one contendership and go for the title, but she's sick and tired of being home and watching other people. She'd rather be there and wrestle and get paid. You know, if she was hurt or injured or sick, you know, you'd understand it. But she's just sitting at home. It's frustrating. And it's frustrating for us not being able to see, you know, one of the greatest divas of this generation not being able to wrestle. And apart from that, it's frustrating for her because I would say she's not getting paid.
Probably. Hell, I think that she should leave TNA, don't go to WWE, but go and fight in Shimmer.
Yeah.
I think Shimmer would use her to their, you know, to her extent. It would be a couple of times a month, and she could definitely show her wrestling skills again. But then again, I mean, at least she's getting airtime. Look at the WWE Divas. They've had, Caitlyn was in 2 matches in the past 6 months, so.
Yeah. She also has another point here. This is the thing I wanted to bring up. The TNA Knockouts Tag Team Championship. They're currently around the waist of ODB and Eric Young. One of those three things does not work out. Now, of course, I'm talking about the two of ODB's. But, like, one, then, which she actually brings up, one, they're not defending them, and two, no one else is getting a shot at them. There's no storyline, there's nothing wrapped around them, they're just belts. And now we've forgotten about them. They don't even have enough girls to make a tag division, let alone a division itself. I'm not getting it. I was like, the last time that I can remember the tag team titles being defended ever, like this is when they actually mattered, was it was Angelina Love and Winter had the titles, and they were facing the Beautiful People. That was in 2010? Or 2011?
Wouldn't know. I don't watch TNA anymore.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. But, yeah.
I can understand her frustration.
Yeah. It's just, if she's sitting at home not doing anything, grab a random girl off the roster that isn't Brooke Hogan, and just pair them up. There, go for the tag titles, you know, just get on a bit of a roll, get a bit of a storyline going, write something up, and you're fine. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Like, Russo would probably be great at that, but then it'd be forgotten about in 2 weeks, but at least you get paid.
Yeah, I mean, TNA's knockout division is head and shoulders above WWE's Divas division, but it's still not where it needs to be. So, once again, I fully endorse Shimmer and Shine.
Oh, yes. It's actually a thing as well that if you look at the talent of the TNA Knockouts roster and the talent of the WWE Women's roster or the Divas roster, and the fact that the TNA Knockouts product is a worse product than WWE's is inexcusable. I guess is the right word. You've got Gail Kim, Velvet Sky, Mickey James, far out. I could rattle off about four or five other. Madison Rain also in there. I think she's still in there. Of girls that are just like, you've got supremely amount of talent. And then you look over on this side and you've got AJ, Caitlin, and the Bella Twins as a start. There's no one there. There's everyone over here, and the WWE's women's division is actually getting a lot more airtime, a lot more match time than the Knockouts do. It's terrible.
It is pretty terrible. But do you know what is more terrible?
What's more terrible, there, Mr. Max?
North American wrestling DVDs not having subtitles on them.
Yes, I would. Would you care to go into a little more detail of that?
Wrestling with Subtitles was created by me, Max, back in June of 2012 as a campaign to get subtitles on wrestling DVDs in North America for the deaf and hard of hearing fans. If you'd like to help, you can contact me at wrestlingwithsubtitles@gmail.com and check out our brand new site, wrestlingwithsubtitles.com.
I might actually go there right now and have a sneak peek.
It's bare bones right now, but it's made by the guys over at Worked Shoot Media. They are also the guys who created McFoley's website. So they know what they're doing. It's bare bones right now because they're trying to figure out a couple things for me to put up there. But I think it's pretty.
Well, hell, I'm just glad that WWS is actually going really, really, really well for you, considering it just started up with something that you were passionate about in 2012. Here we are, you know, about a year later, and you know, TNA's going to do it.
Yep, got big names: Dolph Ziggler, Roddy Piper, Goldberg, things like that. They're all behind us. And while you're on that, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at WrestleSubtitle. Go ahead and follow the wrestling game as well, thewrestlinggame.com, wrestling_game. It's kind of slow right now, but we're trying to gather our Twitter presence. And if you're listening to this, then I'm pretty sure that you're already either playing or you know about us. But I think you should go ahead and go to facebook.com/thewrestlinggame. Go ahead and give us a like. We're 20,350 strong in just over a year and a half. I think that's pretty damn good.
I know that because I was the number six like.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Too long.
But while you're there, you can go ahead and look at all of our on the weekends. We do Wrestler of the Day, so Saturday and Sunday we do Wrestler of the Day, and every day we do a Question of the Day. So if you want to have your question asked, go ahead and post on our wall. And we'll go ahead and select a couple of questions per week, and we can get that going.
That should be good. I haven't actually been able to get onto the Facebook page as of late, because you know I'd win everything.
Yeah,
but Well, I'm actually hoping to start up some sort of trivia thing on here as well. Select one fan or one correct answer to give some tournament points, maybe.
That sounds great. I was actually going to say about every Monday we actually do a live Raw discussion, regardless of how bad Raw is. We always do a live Raw discussion, and I'll give away packages of 5 tournament points for some trivia if the show is going pretty well. Sometimes it's just me talking to myself, but hey, that's okay. I'm schizophrenic,
and that's okay because you'll end up getting the five tournament points.
Yeah.
Oh good. While we're actually on this as well, I actually must give a quick shout out to one of my good buddies on TWG, Cartwright. Cartwright is actually downloaded the demo podcast and was actually quite psyched to hear this first one. So just with that being said, thank you very much, Cartwright, for downloading the demo and downloading this first one. And just something that he wants to say, and I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to say this, but I do kind of want to thank him for supporting us. So he's actually with the Federation CEW. Now,
CEW on server 3?
Oh, no, on server 1, unfortunately.
Server 1, my old stomping ground.
Indeed. I've never been a part of CEW. I think I'm the only moderator on server 1 that's never been a part of CEW.
Oh, just watch out. You might get a BGW way back in the day getting angry that everybody was in their fed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. God, I remember that. But anyway, I've actually been watching their shows recently, and there's actually a stable on there called Evolution, not Evolution, Evolution.
What is going on with Evolution?
Well, I'm actually psyched to know who the Armchair General is. Apparently, it's there's details are very, very sketchy, but the general's a member of the roster, and everyone has their back, really needs their back, needs to watch their back, I guess, to see who the Armchair General is. But I'm psyched, and I can't wait to see, I actually can't wait to find out who it is.
That'd be quite interesting. I might have to pop onto server 1 and follow along.
Indeed. So, just actually while I've got this, if any general manager from server 1 or server 3 wants to promote their federation on here, make an audio clip, almost like a commercial for you, for your Fed, like a quick 30-second commercial discussing if you're your shows, what time, your upcoming pay-per-views, things like that. You can send them through to us and we can play them as commercials on here. So hopefully we can get some of them up in the next couple of weeks.
$15 a pop.
I was actually going to say 15.
Pay for this podcast somehow.
I was actually going to say 15 tournament points.
Buy me tournament points.
Yeah.
The manager. That doesn't sound sketchy at all.
Definitely not. Nah, it's all free, guys. As long as you're doing the work, it's all good. I'll play whatever you need me to.
Because I'm not doing no work.
No work at all. Last thing I really want to talk about, just quickly, because we've been going a long time now. I really want to pick up. Now, I know this is going to be bad for have something on the first podcast, but I used to be the publisher on this game, and pretty much my entire tenure of being publisher, I signed one guy that's still there today. His name's The Bouncer. Now, I know when I say that name, a lot of you are going to go, that what the, what are you going to talk about him for? Hear me out with this. The Bouncer's been writing now for about 2 years. Now, I can turn around for that and saying that I've been writing for nearly 4 years. But The Bouncer has actually pinpointed something here that it's his latest article, the top six guys currently in the WWE, of his opinion, that need to have a world title run. Here are his six, in no particular order, and see what you think. Wade Barrett, Drew McIntyre, Ryback, R-Truth, William Regal, and Cody Rhodes. Now, he says that the best man on the roster to never hold a world title is Cody Rhodes. He should have had a title reign by now. Now, he has a lot of fair points for all of the current, for the six guys that he has, that he's got listed. But is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that you would think that should get a world title run, or at least should have had a world title run by now? Like, for me, I can think of at least four or five, but with that being said, I think they've already had a title run. Like, for instance, if you wanted to go with guys from way back in the Attitude Era that may have just needed, you know, a one-day title run to really pick up and boost their popularity a little more, Billy Gunn and Ken Shamrock. Two guys that deserved one but didn't get one.
Yeah, Billy Gunn is probably one of my picks. Mr. Perfect from way back in the day.
Indeed, Kurt Hennig.
Never, yeah, Kurt Hennig. Other than that, I mean, Kurt Hennig is the perfect, no pun intended, is the perfect candidate for that title of not ever giving, you know, not ever getting the ball to run with up until his untimely death in 2003. So but I agree with the Bouncer with Drew McIntyre. I mean, back when he came in, he was the chosen one by Vince McMahon. He can go in the ring. He's fantastic in the ring. They've saddled him with this stupid gimmick with the three-man band. I don't care if you like it or not, you're wrong.
Don't worry, they're very wrong.
Very, very wrong. I would probably say that Cody Rhodes is among them with needing a title run. Definitely a World Heavyweight Championship run, not a WWE title run. Rhodes could probably take the World Heavyweight title and run with it for a while, because he can go in the ring as well. Ryback, I mean, we'll see this, you know, at Extreme Rules to see if he gets the win. I don't really think that he's ready yet, but then again, if he's not ready now, he'll probably never be ready. So, if you have any feedback on this, you can go ahead and post it to our wall on the TWG wall, and we can discuss it there as well.
Well, it's not only that as well, you can actually go to the forum under the, I believe this section is called Everything Else. I'm going to put up a TWG podcast or even talk to the managers or even King Fist of Wind. There's your plug, FOW. and talk to him and see if he can actually create a separate section of a TWG podcast part of the forum, so at least we can actually get some feedback as well from that and answer all of these good questions. One name I wouldn't like to throw in there is Ted DiBiase Jr.
No, that guy is a bore hole.
Oh God, he's terrible on the microphone.
He is blander than tapioca pudding.
Because I did actually have someone say that to me as well. I was like, I wonder why Ted DiBiase never got a world title run. Like, are you kidding me? Out of the three of them in Legacy, he was a distant fourth.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I've talked to him a couple times on Twitter. He's really cool. Just not. He should drop everything he's doing and go to acting. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So
definitely needs to go to acting. Oh, but with that being said, I agree with Max on pretty much nearly everything you say, which shouldn't actually come as a surprise, but I can feel us disagreeing within the next 2 weeks about something.
Something. It'll happen.
Yeah, it'll definitely happen. And I'll just turn your microphone off and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, I think that wraps it up for this week. Have we got anything else?
I think I'm good. Just go make sure that you follow the Wrestling Game at @wrestling_game on Twitter and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thewrestlinggame.
I might actually plug my one as well. I haven't been on Twitter in too long. I normally get on there for Australian video game review show. But I believe mine is @NemTWG. I believe that's what my Twitter is. I may have to go in and check. But if you just search Nem, NEMTWG, you should be able to find something of me around that. But I hope that's mine anyway. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me on this debut edition, Max.
Thank you for having me, and we'll see you next week. Right here on TWG Podcast.
Indeed. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you next week.